We're going to have a nice time here with our teaching this morning. We got a stained glass window, and you know what that's of? Jesus healing the man, a deaf man, and he also has a speech impediment from Mark's gospel. And we're going to work through that text. It's a great story. I love the story. And then we're going to move towards having Holy Communion. And it's always a special time in our community here when we have Holy Communion. So, but to talk about this this text, and as always, it's important for us to know what the kind of contextual place is for this story. It takes place in Mark 7. There's stuff that's come before. There's stuff that will come after. And so what's going on there contextually that can tell us about the scripture? And then to take it to how can we apply this? What does this mean for us as Christians in our day, in our age? How can we make this thing work out for us here? And so this story in Mark 7 is important. One thing that I would say contextually that you need to know about it is that it is fulfilling prophecy. It is pointing to Jesus in a specific way. One of my favorite texts from Isaiah is this: "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." I love that image of streams in the desert. And so this text, it was a messianic prophecy, and it is pointing towards and saying, hey, this is the guy. And so as in earlier in Mark, when he is when he's performing miracles, it is pointing to him and saying, this is the one. This is the Messiah. So one of the key important things contextually is that it fulfills prophecy. Another thing that I think is significant about this, Ephphatha. So it's like F, like the letter F. And then it's actually fa, like if you're going to say fat, like Ephphatha. Can y'all say that? Ephphatha. That's not Hebrew. That's Aramaic. And what's significant? As we get into the text, you'll see Jesus use this word, Ephphatha. And so we are getting to hear Jesus' words in actually the language that he spoke in. Because most of the time, Jesus spoke in Aramaic. You know, we think Hebrew, and he did at times, but most of the time it was Aramaic. And there's a few times that the gospel writers have chosen to record those words. And why the Holy Spirit did that, I'm not exactly sure. But think about the ones. There's a story actually that that takes place a little bit earlier in Mark, where he heals a little girl, and he says to her, Talabeth kum, which means little girl, get up. And so it records the Aramaic there. And there's another verse that says, Eli, Eli, lama bakhshanani. And what that means is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And here in this text today, he's going to say, Ephphatha. Say, Ephphatha, which means be open. Be open. So let's sort of work through this text. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. The Decapolis was a region of 10 cities, not particularly Jewish cities, a place that good, upright Jews would go. And actually, for that matter, neither was Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon, if you're looking at a map of Israel back in that day, was up close to the Mediterranean up here. Okay, and then the Sea of Galilee is right in here, and the Decapolis was over here. And what I think is significant about that is sometimes we read verses and like it's important to know like the very next thing that happened. And so we see this, and right before this, Jesus has healed or had this conversation with a Syrophoenician woman right before this. And then we have this, and we could think it just happened like 10 minutes later, this happened. It could not have been 10 minutes later. It may have been weeks later, because it would have taken a long time to make that journey. But what is also significant is we hear that the reason that Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon was he was kind of, everybody had wanted a piece of Jesus. You know, he had been healing, and everybody was trying to get close to him. And so he had gone to have some sort of away time and to, you know, get close to the Father. And so he had gone there doing that. But people there wanted him there, and they followed him there. And we see the same thing as he comes into this region. People are trying to get close to Jesus. And so we get into our text officially here. And there some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. Okay, a couple of things about this. First of all, talk about people being marginalized. In Jesus' day and age, if there was anything just the least bit wrong with you, they thought you were unclean. They considered you unclean. And so this man, who probably was not born deaf, but became deaf because he said he had a speech impediment, you know, or maybe he just was really hard of hearing and that's as much as he could speak. But because of that, he was considered unclean and sort of left out and sort of rebuked and all of that, and thought that God was punishing him for whatever reason. And there's other kinds of infirmities that you see throughout the New Testament that Jesus addresses and heals, where people have been marginalized because of, you know, today and age, it wouldn't be a big deal. You know, we have people that wear hearing aids. Some of you in here may wear hearing aids, and probably some of you in here need to wear hearing aids. We've all known that, right? And so, you know, I have this deal where, and it's kind of gross, but I'm going to say it anyway, about once every year or so, I have to go to a professional to clean out either my left ear or my right ear. It just seems to be one or the other time. One time, both of them did it simultaneously. And it was actually when Anna was in college, we were doing a college vision. It was like the same weekend, I could not hear anything. And it gave me a real, you know, understanding and to people who are extremely hard of hearing, because it was terrible. But anyway, so these people, and also notice that he did have people in his life who loved him enough to get him close to Jesus. And that's just a side quick question. Do we love those people in our lives that may be marginalized for what other reason, who may have some sort of infirmity for whatever reason? Do we love them enough to get them close to Jesus? And so these people did. They brought him to Jesus. And then so we continue on. Jesus then took the man. He didn't make a public spectacle of it. Everybody watch me do all my stuff. He took the man aside, away from the crowd. Yep. And then Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. This is how he chose to heal. It's a little strange, right? That Jesus spits on his hands and puts it up to, you know, here we have to wash our hands before we take communion with one another. You know, but Jesus knew about the importance of physical touch. Notice how many times Jesus uses touch to heal. And it's not that he had to, because there are a few times where he doesn't, but most of the time there is some kind of physical touch that is involved with healing, because Jesus knew how strong it was. It's like, how are you doing? You know, you okay? You know, Jesus knew the importance of human physical touch to bring about healing and to make people feel and understand the compassion that he was bringing. And so, and it's interesting, early on, there was in early Christianity, there was a baptism rite where the priest would come as the person who was being baptized and put their fingers in his ears and touch their lips to symbolize this, that our ears are being opened up. You know, not physically, yes, but maybe more in this case in a spiritual sense. So we're able to hear God's voice, to hear the Holy Spirit, and then be able to speak forth the truth, to be able to share the gospel. And so he does that. Then he looks up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, Jesus sighed. Jesus sighed. You know, as I was studying that I struggle with that. For what does that mean? Because Mark is pretty concise, but there's a very specific word there, sigh. We know what that means. So I looked at other translations, and they were consistently translated sigh. So I got my little Strong's thing and went down and looked to see. And it means what we think it means. Jesus was Why? Why is that recorded? Why did Jesus do that? I wanted to know, and I really don't know that I have a definitive answer, but let me give you some ideas about it. First of all, in creation, in Genesis, there is this this idea of ruach, God's breath. Ruach, speaking out and creating the heavens and earth. That is God's breath in creation, in holy creation. And yet, you know, Jesus, who is God incarnate, is there creating and recreating and transforming and making new. So there is that image. But there's also places in Scripture where you see sighs. Well, for example, in Romans, it talks about sometimes we sigh with groanings too deep for words when we're praying, right? And we just don't know what to say, you know? And we hear that Jesus is going away. Jesus was tired. Jesus was weary, yet Jesus still gave. Jesus still looked up to the Father. But Jesus, and here is almost this perfect juxtaposition. If you think about this in the terms of ruach and Jesus speaking out creative force, but Jesus also, as our brother, was human as well as divine. And we see those two. Jesus was tired. Jesus was weary. Jesus looked to the Father for power. And then he says to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. Be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosed. And he began to speak plainly. He began to speak plainly. As we think about this, what this Ephphatha, being open, might mean a physical healing. It means a physical healing because God is in the business of that. But it also, in many cases, at the same time, might mean a spiritual renewal or waking. As God opens, as God comes to us and says, be open, it is about something inside of us spiritually being transformed. Being open might mean moving from this world into the fullness of the presence of God in heaven. Being opened means wholeness. Wholeness. Being open means wholeness. Now, for us, how do we have our ears opened and our tongue loosed? What is preventing us from having that done? Then how does God manifest that for us? And I thought of three different ways, and not just because I'm being a Methodist pastor and giving you three ways. I thought three things. But the first one is this. I hope your football team won yesterday. Did your football team won? Mine won yesterday, right? Okay. Clap if yours team won yesterday, okay? All right, that's a lot of enthusiasm, folks. Okay, okay, so as I'm checking scores last night, of all the scores, there were not many surprises the first week of football season because, you know, Georgia played some team you've never heard of because, you know, they want to win. So all the big teams are playing little teams. Okay, and so, you know, the same was in other places in the country. And so, but a really surprising score, if you saw this, was the Temple Penn State score. Did y'all see this? Temple 27, Penn State 10. Okay? Oh, how the mighty have fallen. What happened at Penn State? What happened at Penn State? Jerry Sandusky is partly what happened at Penn State. That's what happened. No one wants to go to Penn State. You know, and if it's your alma mater, I'm sorry, but one evil person doing some unspeakable acts of evil. And I know you know what I'm talking about because it was all over the news, okay? And that football program, which used to be a perennial national contender, got beat by Temple, okay? Well, if you think about it on a symbolic of how that can happen in our communities as well, when evilness comes into our communities. But what else happened? People turned a deaf ear, right? Over and over again, as they investigate that thing, people were turning a deaf ear. And it was like they were mute to talk. And for some reason, they were scared of the power that he might have or Joe Paterno might have. But Joe Paterno was one of them that turned a deaf ear to what was going on. And when that happens, we allow evil to creep in. We just see, you know, this whole program, the school, whole school and university, and I've heard things about, you know, people donating and alumni and all that stuff, you know, because of the acts of one. But when we don't have our ears open so that we can hear the truth, and when we don't speak the truth out, you know, we are complicit. And so that's one of the ways. What am I doing? It's later on. Okay. There's no point for this slide. That's going to tell you. Okay, so this morning we sang, let us become more aware of your presence, right? We sang that, let us become more aware of your presence. And that, I think, is also a sense of which we learn to hear. There's this story told, don't know if it's true or not, but it's a great story, where this Native American was walking through New York, and you know, it's like if you've been to Manhattan before, you know there's a big park, but there's also these little parks, like these little grass areas as you're walking around. And so he's with this guy, and they're walking down a busy sidewalk, and the Native American says, whoa, I just heard a cricket. And the guy says, oh, God, you're crazy. There's no way you heard a cricket. He says, no, there's a cricket over here. And he goes over, and he kind of looks over in the grass and the bushes, and he gets down on his hands and knees, and he comes up, and sure enough, there's a cricket. He has a cricket. And the guy says, wow, you must have super hearing or something. And he says, no, it's just what you're listening to. What you're listening to. He says, watch this. And he reached into his pocket, and he got a big handful of coins, and he threw out the coins on the sidewalk, and suddenly everybody's looking around, seeing where those coins were. He says, it's just, what are you paying attention to? How is your hearing, you know, what frequency are you tuned into? Are you tuned into the Holy Spirit's frequency, or is it the world's frequency, and all the clutter, and all the chatter, and all the noise? And one way that we turn a deaf ear is when we're tuned in to something else rather than in the Holy Spirit's presence with us. And then finally, there is this idea of our ears being open, you know, just because we've been transformed. That maybe we could not hear before, and now we can. Our ears have been opened to something we've never experienced before, and we have to tell about it. Because our tongues are loosed as well. You know, we used to say, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was deaf, but now I hear. I don't know if you've ever seen this play or movie, The Miracle Worker. It's about Helen Keller. It's powerful. How many of y'all have seen this? Okay. There is a scene when this transformation takes place with Helen Keller. And Ann Sullivan was her teacher that worked with her. And with this little girl, and so she, you know, she's out of control. She keeps trying to teach her, and just doesn't like she's ever going to get it. And then so they were walking down, and they get to this water pump, and she starts pumping the water, and with her hand with the water there, and she is taking at the same time. I don't have enough hands here, and she is signing into her hand. She's signing into her hand WATER water. And she pumps the water, and she, you know, and then suddenly something happens. And Helen Keller gets the connection between this wet stuff that's coming on her hand and WATER water. And she understands. She gets it. And God does that for us. And oftentimes with something physical. That's why Jesus uses touch, because it's something physical. Maybe it's a touch of another human being that came and puts our hand on his shoulder at a very, you know, difficult time in our life. Maybe it is the touch of the water of our baptism that transforms us. Or maybe it's the touch of taking the bread and the juice and having these tangible, tactile things that we can touch, that God signs into our hands, L-O-V-E, 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 and suddenly we get it. We're loved. We're loved. And it is this celebration that we come to this place honor this morning.